titanium dioxide is very much the coating, the outer coating of the 21st century. And I say that because it's the white, the super white in paint. It's the stuff of sunscreen we slap on ourselves. We put it on the surface of windows. There's just so many places that we use it. We use it in our fiber optics. It's really, we put it in cake whitening, in icings to make it white. It's a fabulous thing which we've coated our 21st century. And of course, if you walk back into the 60s, it's much more sepia, less brilliant white. It's a white which has permeated every aspect of our culture. And it's a fairly common metal. And this is Peter Hill Explains, and I'm just going to data dump about this metal through all these different things. It's got a mystery in it, and it's I'm confused a bit about it. So titanium dioxide, so it's a metal. So if you go in the periodic table, the central D block of 10 elements, the element next to scandium is titanium. And titanium was named after the god of strength, but way before it was identified as a strong metal. It was isolated or seen as a separate element in late 19th, it's a correction, late 18th century, and isolated there. But it couldn't be actually refined as a metal because our standard metal refining processes before electricity and even with electricity, it didn't dissolve. There's very few soluble stuff, so you can't put it in a solution and dissolve them and pull it apart electrolytically with a voltage. And you can't refine it as we do so many metals by chucking it in with carbon and letting the carbon burn off the oxygen. So there's generally titanium dioxide. But what happens is that the carbon surely does remove the oxygen, but it also binds rather strongly to the titanium, making titanium carbide, which is not what you want to get the metal. Now, before I actually go into the metal, I just want to say where you'd see titanium in nature. So in Australia, all the time. This titanium is actually quite a common element, but Australia is the titanium king of all countries. So we've got the most of it because we have it in sand. So if you're at the beach and you're digging for a while, if you dig underneath the white sand, you'll come across these patches of dark sand. And one of the things is that you think, oh look, that could be old organic matter, but it's actually a fine black sand, and that sand is actually called microscopic things of titanium dioxide, which is rutile, which I want to talk about a bit later on. But let's talk about titanium as a metal. So it's a super strong metal, lighter than aluminium and the stuff of for making rockets and other highly expensive, but where you need strength and lightness. I suppose you could have it in aircraft, but they have it in rockets. I know this because I was in South Australia starting my PhD, and there's all the old rocket material up in the physics department there, and I was cleaning it up, creating some space, and I moved a rocket cone, and I just lifted it up, and it was absolutely super light. Of course, you have titanium in bikes and stuff like that. Allegedly, there's some titanium in the some parts of metal cans, Coke cans. That ring pull has probably got it's allegedly strengthened with titanium to make it a little bit strong, but it's a very strong element. So there was a time of trying to work out how to actually make titanium, and the route to make it is that you dissolve the titanium in hydrochloric acid and make Ti, titanium chloride, TiH4, titanium chloride, TiCl4, So there's four chlorines, and you react this with initially pure sodium metal. That was the original case, and that gave you pure titanium metal and sodium chloride. So with chlorine, it prefers the chlorine prefers the sodium, and that's at very high temperatures. A bit over 1,000 degrees, but it wasn't until after 1940s, I think, probably 1940s, that can barely remember the name of the process, but there is a process there where it's made with magnesium. And you think, oh, this is a pretty hard process, so the pure magnesium and titanium tetrachloride gas, I suppose, would be put together, because you couldn't have a solution of it. It's got to be a gas at this high temperature, 800 degrees, and titanium's made, and the titanium's a high temperature material. It has to be processed and reprocessed again to make it. There's a chemical process, but the chemical process of converting what you get out of the chemical process to a metal is an expensive part. One of the things that I'd like to propose, and I may as well, is that you rack the titanium with azine. That's N2H4, and that's got a real potential to react. I'd be interested to know whether that works, because that's titanium metal, so it's, and of course that's in biological implants. You've got a titanium plate inside you. I don't think it's not magnetic, but it's highly, highly strong, silvery, sort of a whitey material. It looks a bit like aluminium, but it's much, much, much harder. Now I want to get on to rutile, as you see it. So this is a rutile, and it's rutile actually in quartz, and it's these rather beautiful crystals that actually form in quartz. So if you imagine quartz is silicon dioxide, it's crystalline, but these needles, threads, are seen inside, and it's the most incredible thing to see. One of the most beautiful minerals I've seen. So you've got your quartz, and you've got this hair, golden hair, these golden spikes going in, and in some cases minerals I have seen, the actual hairs grow out of the quartz. So somehow the titanium's got together and it's got an inclusion. That's a rutile. Of course, rutile is a very important property in optoelectronics. This is optical fiber stuff, because it's birefringent. That means it moves the polarization from one fiber into two fibers, so you can handle the polarization of an optical fiber. You can actually sort it out and basically run double components to deal with both polarizations. A very important app. And so you get these little crystals of rutile. They're made artificially. And I met a geology friend who said, look, I've got heaps of rutile. I said, wow, we're using heaps of it. It's quite expensive. I can get it for you free. Come over to me. And he said, oh, I've got this huge crystal. And I walked over, I think it's at Sydney University, and looked. And he got me to look down a microscope. Isn't that a huge crystal of rutile? So the rutile we were using was about 2 millimeters by 2 millimeters, very clear, and it's made artificially. So if you can make it artificially, you can make it very pure. So rutile's basically crystalline. If you hold it up, you see things double. The actual two polarizations are split, but they're actually, you see double. Image from it. It's equivalent. I think calcite's the classic mineral that you look at here. I'm going for time here, but now we come to titanium dioxide, which you crush up into nanoparticles. It makes this a very white nanoparticles, and so it's the white of paint. It's also a white of food coloring. So any food, which has got this beautiful white, this titanium dioxide, and I went with this friend to a cake shop, and they described it, and I said, "Oh, I bet it's titanium dioxide." And they looked at the little expensive bottle, and indeed, it was 100% titanium dioxide. So, titanium dioxide is something you can eat and put on your skin, and it's a UV sunblock, but it's also got other super properties. In little particles, it's and hit it with sunlight, it actually breaks apart water, and there's heaps of chemical reactions which can occur just use sunlight and titanium dioxide layer, and you can make little photocells and things like that. And here, going to the end of perhaps the most exciting thing of titanium dioxide, is that you can spin coat it onto glass in a chemical, and heat off and burn off the chemical and put the chemical onto glass, and it makes the glass super water repellent and also chemically reactive with glass. So if you've got a fingerprint, you put your hand on some glass and sunlight shines on it, the fingerprint will start to chemically react, burn off, and then when water goes on it, no water will form as a little water droplet, it will actually slide off. And so since 2000, they've been making self-cleaning glass for cars and for houses, and it's this titanium dioxide, a super thin layer on top of the glass, which is super hydrophobic. That is, the water is on it, and hydrophilic. It loves the water so much. The water gets on the water, it gets absolutely, and it's actually put into a very, very fine film. So this is called self-cleaning glass. Watch out for it. An anti-fogging glass. So you can't fog it up, because your little water droplets that form in it actually just put, so that's a hydrophobic, hydrophilic. The water droplet gets pulled in till it's absolutely flat. It squashes out flat to a molecular layer, so you actually can't pour water onto the glass. It appears not to carry any water whatsoever. So this will, I'm sure this will be coming in more to driving streams. But it's the anti-fog of the inside. Thanks for listening. That's all I have to say about titanium dioxide. I hope this has been interesting. This is another piece of technology. I'll just sign off this podcast by revealing the thing that really worries me, and then go back and say what I think is absolutely fantastic, sort of mind-blowing. So what really worries me is that when you look at the actual unit cell, which, as it's called, the sort of base unit of rutile, this is titanium dioxide, that's a titanium and dioxide. Yes, indeed, inside the unit cell, there's three or four titaniums, and there's twice the amount of oxygen, which is okay. What really concerns me is that I see oxygen's there with three bonds to it. So oxygen normally can only take two bonds. It's very easy to see in quartz, because silicon would have a diamond-like structure, and the oxygen is just stuck in where every bond would normally be, where there would normally be a silicon-silicon bond, is a silicon-oxygen bond, so oxygen is just stuck in. It's very easy to comprehend. But rutile is just mind-blowing. I just cannot really understand that particular crystal, and perhaps one day I will understand it. Probably do a celebration podcast when I can. The other thing besides this is titanium dioxide, been used in so many different ways, and titanium being such an interesting metal to purify, it seems something like it's going to be amazing if we can discover a new technology which can make it quickly, or we can find an energy source which is very cheap, we can sort of find an economy that we can actually set up things at high energy industries which can pause and wait for while we're not using energy, the energy can go to these high energy industries. That'll be interesting if that can be done. So perhaps in a few years' time, we'll have titanium will be as common as aluminium or one of those things. We can use it a lot more commonly in aircraft and everything else like that. At the moment, our aircraft are mostly aluminium, but it would be amazing if they were titanium. Titanium, of course, is what's on the outer surface of these submarines, which go to great depths. It's got the entire strength, so it doesn't collapse like a steel can or like an aluminium can. But again, we'll just go back before I finish. The amazing thing that you can actually put an organic liquid which holds titanium oxide in it and pour it on the surface of your clean glass and then heat it up, and it forms a layer of titanium oxide on top of your glass, and this then makes the glass no longer wettable or super wettable. So it's so wettable that the water doesn't form a drop. The water is sucked onto the surface and the dirt itself gets fried by the titanium dioxide and the sun together. Just that idea that in years to come, people will say in movies, see water splash on glass and won't bead like it did in the old days. That's a very interesting thing to do. So it's just these little things, just following up one metal and its compounds. It's just absolutely fascinating to see how much it's in society and how much people use it and see it every day right in front of it. They eat it and all that type of stuff. Yet, the person I was with in the buying the ingredient said, look, I have never heard of titanium dioxide before or titanium. So a lot of people around us just don't do it. And I suppose it's another mystery to the way that we run our society, the way that society exists. You've got so much technology, but so little time to worry about it. Thanks for listening.